Ahead and convene. So, we actually don't have a quorum today, officially, at least as I count the numbers here. We've got Ryan, who has got this thing called an election that somehow or another seems to have risen to a higher level than coming to our meeting. And then we've got Eileen Roberts, who has been called to a meeting and conference out in San Francisco that she had to attend. And so we're basically down those two, along with Bob Horton, who had another conflict. And I also got an email this morning from Ben Marchick, who was sick and said he wasn't going to be able to join us today as well. But when we were kind of looking at the bylaws as we interpret them, we've got seven voting members, and we need to have four people to have a quorum, and we need one more than a quorum in order to conduct voting, as I think I remember.
It's by the bylaws. It's 50% plus one, so for the quorum. So
it's four.
Mm-hmm. So how do we get that other half a person?
But anyway, even if we can't take formal votes today in terms of that, I think we can go through the agenda and probably concentrate some time on at least the planning session report that Jeff and I will kind of run through with everybody. So at least for purposes of the agenda, if people are comfortable with the agenda, I guess we're not going to take motions, but does anybody have any other changes they'd like to add to or modify it?
What do we have under other business items?
You have one?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Other business items.
Yep.
I would like to add that we talk about what documents we are accepting. I've had that question several times.
Yes, and you and I think both got a communication on that front, and it's one of the topics that we'll be discussing in part of our work plan.
Okay.
Because that's one of the topics we did discuss about what documents do we want to continue to be electronically recording here going forward for the future. So we'll probably cover it in that. But if we don't, Janine, let's make sure we cover it at the end. Anybody have anything else?
And then I've got a small thing on with submitters. Janelle and I worked on some things, so I can bring you up to date on that after.
Sounds good. And I saw a hand over here, Bill. Yeah.
Yeah, at the last meeting, you asked me to do a little research with Priya regarding what state standards might be out there for processing, or checking, validating software.
Good. We'll cover that then, too. Thank you, Bill.
Yes.
Yep. Any else? Others? Not? Sounds fine. And we'll go ahead with the agenda as is with these three extra items that we've added on. Anybody have any question about the minutes? If not, just thinking out loud here, being that we don't have a quorum and we can't take formal actions, do we want to do anything that would at least indicate that with the group that's here, they were comfortable with what's there, subject to a meeting when we've got a quorum, so at least the minutes could reflect what those of us that are here see anyway?
You did that with a consensus count.
Yeah. Why don't we just have the minutes reflect that the minutes from the September meeting appeared to be okay to those that were here with no additional additions. Hearing that, then introductions, I don't know that we need to spend time on all that, or maybe we should go around the room again. There's some new folks. I see we've got Mr. Huebinger here with us today. Very good. Greg, I'll let you...
I'm Greg Huebinger with the Electric Coordinating Commission.
Right. Sally and Diane get to work for Greg, and Greg has been with us in spirit and funding and administrative capacities here going back for quite a few years. Yeah. So we're very glad to have you aboard, Greg. Appreciate it. So, and then I'll let my deputy introduce herself, too.
Sherry Simpson, Penn County. Yep. Jennifer Wiggins, Washington.
Bill Morey, Truman.
Larry Delane in Oka County.
Chris Vasilisi, Carlton County, and also representing the Minnesota County Recorders Association as their president.
Okay. And then we've got Lynette.
Lynette Schroep, McLeod County.
Very good. Very good. Anyway, why don't we... why don't we go ahead? Is there anybody that's called in on the telephone that's joining us here today?
This is just a recording.
Yeah. Oh, it's just a recording. Yeah.
Ah. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Mike.
That's right. We don't have that here.
I think Jeanine was just asking everyone to introduce ourselves here. Yeah.
As long as we've got the recording, why don't we go ahead and do that?
I'm Diane Henry Feinstein. I'm with LCC.
Jeanine Barker, Lyon County.
Pam Trumbull, U.S. Recordings.
Terry Bulver, U.S. Bank.
Mike Kniff from Hennepin County.
Jeff Carlson, Minnesota Land Title Association.
Sally Kidd with the LCC.
Very good. Well, we've got that tough part down, and now we go on to county recording. This is kind of an update in terms of where we're at with... the efforts of the Minnesota County Recorders Association to begin to collect data going forward, which they've offered to do. And I don't know, maybe Chris, I can just have you give us a short little update. I know you've been working on it, and we still don't have the software in place yet.
Well, here's what it's going to look like.
Hard to see, I know, but if you want to gather around, come on, take a look. It's very simple. I talked to our website coordinator yesterday at MECO, said this should be on the web, but I need to tweak a couple of processes first. I want to make sure it works. Then I also want to put a procedure in for myself to alert when the notices should go out for data collection, which would be the first of the month, and then a second notification for the counties about the counties who did not record their data, that they need to record their data before the end of the month. And we need to do those two processes. I'm hoping next time we have a meeting, this will all be, I'll have it a little more solidified, but this is what it does look like. At the top, it says MN Recording Data Survey, Reporting County. Please select a Minnesota county. There's a drop-down list. Reporting month and year, level 3, abstract document, number of documents. Level 3, Torrance documents, number of documents. Level 2, abstract documents, number of documents. Level 2, Torrance documents, number of documents. And then paper, abstract documents, number of documents. Paper, Torrance documents, number of documents. Submit and clear, successful submit message. Thank you, county name for reporting. Month, year, document numbers. And then I also need to know how the reports are going to flow out of here to bring back to the commission. So that's where we're at.
Maybe if you would notice to do it at the first of the month, mm-hmm. and then at the 15th, so that by the time we meet,
you could have it.
We could have that information rather than, I mean, there's oftentimes those of us who need the reminder to do it, but if you wait till the end of the month, then that data won't be there.
Right, that's true, too. You're right, Jeanine, and I will note that in my notes and do that. So we're moving forward, but not as fast as I'd like, but we're getting there.
Okay. Why don't we, we'll talk about, and I'll talk further with Diane about, perhaps we'll send a letter out to all the recorders.
Okay.
Kind of from the commission, thanking, recognizing the work that the Recorders Association has done to gather the information, and kind of ask them to get on board to get the data so that we can continue collecting going forward from this past July when the commission first started and moving forward, so that we'll have some history in terms of the amount of electronic recording statewide, as well as just the general level of recording activity, which I think will help all of us at different points in the future as we try and have that tool available. Larry.
Will there be any value in asking the counties to go back to at least the beginning of this year instead of with July?
Do you want me to start beginning January?
I mean, that way you've got...
We'd have a whole calendar year that way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can do that.
I
because
think there would be...
Because it's not that much more effort to put that information in there.
Okay.
It isn't.
The reports, will it have a total? Can we? Or is it going to be able to?
I haven't seen anything.
Okay.
They should be able to total it because they've got all the information.
Right.
So
okay, and that was my concern. Is that
be able to do all kinds
that
of
would be nice to
graphs and all kinds of things with
yeah.
the data they'll have.
That's what I'm hoping, but I got to work a little more with
this. Is this on a what type of? Is this a Access database or is this a?
It's supposed to be an Access database. Ben set it up so. It's an Access database. He sent it over to the Mako web person, and now I'm going to go test it. He didn't get it posted until yesterday, so
okay.
I haven't had time to test it.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. I appreciate that.
And then what I'll do is I'll make sure I'll be taking care of the notices, 1st and 15th, until I feel... It's comfortable. I don't know if I want to turn it over to the web guy. Yeah. So.
I'm not sure.
So we will ask them to go back to January 1 of 08 with recording data. And we're going to be sending this out to all counties, not just those that are electronically recording.
Yes.
And
and they're all on the MCRA listserv. All of the recorders are, so
okay.
It should hit everybody.
Okay. Good. Well, that will be, I think, helpful as we move forward for whatever we end up getting into here. So thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
Anybody have anything else on that? Anybody question? Not? Well, why don't we go on to the planning session report that we've got, and I think you've all gotten probably in your packet a little outline of a meeting that took place here a couple of weeks ago. As it turned out, Jeff and I were the only ones that were able to make the meeting, and we spent, I think, a good couple of hours kicking around where things are at and what we ought to focus our time and attention and whatever resources we're able to come up with on trying to achieve. We and maybe just kind of take you through it. This is just kind of a draft and a very rough draft at this. I had hoped that we might have some more discussion that would conclude some participation with both Pam and Ben in terms of the some cost figures to do certain things, but we can spend some time talking about that. I think we first of all looked at what's the long-term goal, and that is to probably create eventually a standard for being able to record electronic documents electronically throughout the state of Minnesota. But I think we've come to the realization in looking at that's not something that is going to be achievable, certainly during the next biennium. With the mortgage lending industry and the economy and the shape and the condition that it's in, there's not going to be much money and effort coming from the industry to be able to move forward on that, and we're kind of realistically expecting that we're not likely to get a big infusion of money coming from the legislature to do some of the things that that might require us to do, and I just don't see that as being where we need to focus our time and attention. And I think Jeff and I, Jeff, you chime in here, but we kind of saw that that's still what we want to have for the long-term goal, mm-hmm. but we'll deal with that whenever the economy recovers and whenever the mortgage lending industry can establish a standard for a mortgage, and then we can talk about how do we move forward with that.
Yeah, because we might be, if we concentrate on that, we might be ready before the industry's ready, you know, and have it, this time you build it, no one comes, you know, and we just didn't want to have that happen to us. But we know what's out in the industry today and what is happening today and what can be done in a short term to create electronic recordings and get a little more volume going through today.
So, So once we put that out as kind of the long-term goal, we basically came back, now what can we really do and focus our attention and what's doable and achievable here? And by short-term goal, we kind of talked about, well, all right, what can we do during the next couple of years? So we basically kind of threw out that we think we need to focus our attention and time and efforts on trying to make Model 2, Level 2, whichever word you want to use, more of a reality in Minnesota, and do the things that we need to do in terms of mapping the data set requirements for those particular documents to be able to do electronic recording of at a Level 2. We thought we first need to finish our focus on the six-pack that we'd always talked about, the typical residential closing. And we even gave a telephone call during our meeting to Pam Trombo to kind of remind us what we had and what we hadn't done in terms of some of that mapping activity for the six-pack. And we had created the standard, and we'd approved. The one thing we hadn't done, however, was finished the deed. And we need a few little things that we need to finish on the deed so that we will be able to do a six-pack. And I guess our thought was we want to be ready as soon as the state's CRB is ready, mm-hmm. which we anticipate will be the first part of next year, at least on what I've last heard from Joel and the Department of Revenue. And if we can focus our attention to try and make certain that the mapping data set for the deed can be completed, we'd then have the ability to do a complete normal residential closing, which would include a satisfaction of an old mortgage, the deed for a new purchase, a mortgage, an assignment, a CRB, and a well statement. And we think that would at least get us to that particular point. And that's what we kind of always talked about trying to be able to do. We then talked about moving on from that point, and then we talked about basically identifying the uniform conveyancing blanks and trying now for the second part of this progressing Model 2 forward to do the mapping that would be necessary for every one of the additional uniform conveyancing blanks. And then we talked about, well, then where do we start? Which ones do you now next work on? And we basically thought we probably should have a two-prong approach. One, let's ask the Trusted Submitter Committee, and let's ask the Recorders Committees to go back and identify which document types do they think would have the biggest bang for the buck if we had addressed next. Knowing from the submitter which ones might you have customers that want to use those things, and which ones do we as recorders think from what our numbers have shown in the past would yield the biggest bang for our buck in terms of the most types of documents coming in. So those were the two things that we thought we ought to focus some time and attention on from submitter groups. Now, in the meantime, since we met, there have been some questions that have come up, Jeff, about foreclosure packages. And there are some customers that are interested in submitting foreclosure package documents for electronic recording, and they're not really in the uniform conveyancing blank package of documents. And yet, I think every recorder, certainly in the metro area, would say they have risen to a rather high level of prominence in terms mm-hmm. of document recordings in the last couple of years. Perhaps they wouldn't have held such an esteemed place here 3 or 4 years ago, but that certainly has changed in the last couple of years. At least one vendor in particular apparently has some customers that wanted to start doing electronic recording in a Model 2 for those types of documents. And I don't know, Jeff, if you've had that type of query from any of your customers.
Yeah, we don't really handle foreclosures at all, and the primary reason why we hadn't is because you physically have to walk it in and have a sheriff sign, right, before you record, because mm-hmm. the sheriff has to sign off on that certificate. So the idea is if somebody's there getting that done, just walking it down to the next area, it wouldn't make as much sense. So it'd be interesting to see if there's some other process that's happening in other parts of the state that it would make electronic recording feasible unless I'm I haven't dealt with them foreclosures in 4 or 5 years, so
maybe
the process is different now.
I would have to think that that is the process as well. The people are there. The people are there. Their need to record that document is urgent.
Yeah, it's 24 hours, right, that they have to record or something?
I don't know what it is, but our sheriff sales or our foreclosure sales, it's signed into us in the length of time it takes to walk it down to our office. So,
are we talking about the foreclosure sale document recording? Are we talking about the notice, pendency, and power to foreclose?
Yeah, maybe. And those, I'm sure, are documents that probably could be e-recorded. The actual certificate couldn't. It could be, but I'm just saying, I don't see where that wouldn't make any sense. Get it signed at the sheriff's, take it all the way back to image it so it can be electronically recorded.
Yeah.
Unless somebody does it differently than what I'm thinking.
Mr. Chair, I have a question. The other thing, too, is they attach that newspaper clipping to those sheriff's certificates of sale, and I don't know how that would incorporate into that package either. You know, that's part of the requirement under statute.
Yeah, but then that would just be imaged in just like the regular papers.
I suppose.
Just like we do it in our office.
The communication that Janine and I both received did not specify which documents involved or related to the mortgage type foreclosure transaction they were talking about. But I think it would probably be smarter for us to concentrate on the notice of intent to foreclose and the power of attorney given to on the foreclosure
and
documents
I could see
that
where
happen on the front end.
That they would like those to be, could be e-recorded.
Right.
The other documents that have been mentioned to me are mechanics liens. Seems to me there was some others. And I know there were some others. And I guess at the time my thought was we really haven't talked about the requirements of those forms of documents, just like, you know, their uniform conveyancing blanks, the mapping part of those new documents. Yes, they're going to come in, could come in as a Model 2, but how much will it feed in automatically, and will we have to data enter everything? I guess that was my question. How much mapping have we done that allows them to check those documents?
Well, that's kind of what we talked about needs to be done for every one of the next document set that we're going to address is what are you going to require to be submitted electronically for each one of those documents so that kind of becomes the standard that we adopt. And that's what we thought. Perhaps there would be some advantage if people would take the industry group and then the recorder group and come back with what we thought were the next document types to work on.
The other one I had was a subordination agreements. Mm-hmm. Those were the other one I was asked about. Because when you're getting a mortgage in, oftentimes they want to subordinate one that's already out there, especially in today's economy. Sometimes they looking at doing that. So that was the other one that I was asked about. Can they do a subordination agreement?
Those, I think, are not going to be as common as what we've seen in the last number of years. They were fairly common a lender that had a second mortgage was willing to subject themselves to a new first mortgage after a refinancing activity, and with the drop in the real estate values that have taken place in the last couple of years, there aren't going to be as many subordination. That's what we're seeing in our office. We're just not seeing them. I don't know. Terry, what are you?
I don't work on anything with seconds, so
okay.
I'm not sure, but I would say that your logic makes sense that there isn't as much activity there.
For a while, we were getting them all the time with any refinancing arrangement, and now the refinancings have just fallen off dramatically. And when you don't have refinancings, there's not much request for a subordination agreement. But
in the agricultural area, that's a little bit different.
I don't rule it out, but I think we ought to go back and have our groups take a look at it and see which document types we ought to focus our attention on. I think in the long run, we want to do them all. But the question gets to be, which ones do we start with, and which ones will get the biggest bang for the buck? And, you know, we might even ask our vendor groups. You know, Bill, you guys, we could probably ask Fiddler, West Central, any of them in terms of, you know, do they have an idea of which document types would yield the most interest from prospective customers if we were to, you know, focus our time and attention to map what those requirements would be?
Well, and which ones can be mapped easily in relationship to the documents we already have mapped.
True.
You know, I mean, some of them, it's just basically picking the same information we pick. It's a different document type, but it's the same information. So,
right.
There's some
probably logical groups
right.
of documents, and you probably aren't going to have all that many because the requirements on most documents are the same. It's just that on some documents, you've got some additional
a unique feature.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like deeds and mortgages and that sort of thing are a little different than the rest of the documents.
Well, and
some have reference documents, them, some don't, but it's still a very small grouping of documents that you would actually be dealing with that you could throw all the documents in one category or another.
You know, because when you go into the conveyancing blanks, you know, it really doesn't matter what kind of deed it is.
Correct.
You know.
It's a deed.
Mm-hmm. And right. the same requirements will come for those, and maybe that's something we can sit down and look at is which ones will be mapped the same, and then we don't have to deal with them. We can just lump them over into that
right.
that category. The same with the mortgages, you know, is it short form, long form, does that matter? Are we mapping the same data?
Yeah, and the only other thing that you got to worry about from my perspective is that you also have to come up with what you're going to call every one of these documents too, and is there going to be a code that's associated with it so that when it gets to your system, it's the same code for everybody, but you may have to translate it on your end to get it to fit within your system. So if it's a deed, what are you going to use for the different types of deeds so that your system knows what's what? And
well, the comment I've gotten is maybe we don't need so many different types in our
yep.
coding
yep.
because if you go into search online and you put in you want deeds, but then you have a code for limited warranty deed, trustee's deed, whatever, they don't show up. So, you know, if you, maybe we don't want so many codes. Maybe we, in the long run, do want it to fall under deeds, mm-hmm. mortgages, satisfactions, you know. If you put in satisfactions to search online, you get the releases. Mm-hmm. No, ours are releases. If they come in as a release, we put them in as a release, mm-hmm. you know. Maybe we want to look at generalizing those topics or those areas in which you file, and maybe it would make it, you know.
Yep.
And I'm not talking about going back and changing everything. I'm
no,
talking
no,
about
yep.
moving
we've,
forward.
We've done that through the years too, and we've changed systems. We go on and relook at everything, and we've pared down the number of different types that we've got in our system. In
you know,
county. And I know all counties have struggled with that through the years. So
I know we like to say, you know, we have to record over 400 different kinds of documents, but.
Yep.
I don't want that many different types to have to handle. So,
as we've gone through our data cleanup for our new system, we've had over 400 different types of mortgages just because of the way we've identified them, spelled them or misspelled them, abbreviated them and misabbreviated them. So, yes, we can tell you all about that.
But that was kind of a little bit the tone of our conversation.
Right.
It was essentially we're looking at things like affidavits and said there's all flavors of affidavits.
Right.
We'll just call it an affidavit. And if it's an affidavit of identity, of survivorship, or whatever it is, it would just fall under that. Deeds, same way, mortgages. You can stay within about 10 document types and covered 95% of the documents.
Because one of the things we thought we needed to do was to deal first with the deed and finish that in order so that we can encompass all types of deeds.
Correct.
So that whatever we've come up with in the mapping, and that's going to be the challenge to finish that, so that we've dealt with the quit claim, the warranty, the limited warranty, the deed that goes to joint tenancy, the deed that's from a corporation to individual, and all those, you know, there's got to be, what, about 15 at least uniform conveyancing option deeds that are out there, and we want to be able to take care of all of them. When we've dealt with deeds, we've dealt with all of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it possible in the model to electronic world, once, if it's an affidavit or a deed, comes in, and when the staff is indexing, if they need to be more specific, they could, mm-hmm. for their own, to change it?
Yeah, but mm-hmm. you have to have some standard so that all 87 counties are going to accept it or
right.
be required to accept it
right.
if it comes in from the submitter this way. Mm-hmm. And
right.
what they do with it in their own shop afterwards, I guess, is up to the recorder.
You do with an edit button. Mm-hmm.
If they want to break it down into a further category of documents,
they could do that.
They could even still do that. But in today's electronic world, it isn't nearly so important because all you got to do is click and you can see the document.
Right.
Back when you had to find the document number and then from in a big book and then walk over and find it in another book or go to the microfilm and pull the right roll and go find an open reader. I mean, that all took a lot of time.
Yeah.
So I think recorders got to be more descriptive in what kind of document it was to narrow the search down. But now all you got to do is click and you mm-hmm. can see the...
Right. I was just thinking about affidavits
yep.
and affidavits of survivorship. You know, those could get a little tricky.
Yeah.
But see, the other thing, though, is years ago is it depended on where you filed them, whether it was an affidavit of survivorship or an affidavit of trustee.
Yeah.
You know, one was in a miscellaneous book, one was in a deed book. You know, now we're not most, I don't know if counties are still filing them as anything other than by document number. And so it is easier, like Larry says, to say, well, I can go check what this affidavit is.
And the only reason I mention that is I think it would give a comfort level for them to know that, you know, this is the status out here, affidavit, warranty, whatever, when it comes into your system, if you need to.
If you want to do it, and you ought to be able to do that with an edit button.
Right. And that's the only thing, because I think then that gives more of a comfort level,
yep.
that they get to maintain the consistency they feel they have.
Yeah, the most important thing is that we have to have some way
to get it in
so they know that they have to accept this because
right.
it meets the commission's standard.
Bill?
We have our Minnesota Users Group meeting next week, and I certainly would be glad to ask a question about which are the more popular or most commonly
right.
used documents and report that back. Can't speak for West Central or
yep, but that would be helpful,
yeah.
because that's what we really want to get to is what document types are used the most that would have the greatest interest on the part of customers to
yep.
be willing to record electronically.
And I can probably kind of jump out of the agenda here and jump ahead to the submitters group, but Janelle and I put together a list of questions that we're going to submit all through the MLTA about e-recording, but also covering this. Okay, here's the six we're working on.
What's
would be
next?
The next?
Yeah.
What would be the next most important to you? So, and I think, Teresa, as far as that goes, as long as we cover the agents, that probably have the banks and lenders' needs in mind as well. I mean, most of what comes straight from the lenders are either mortgages, releases, you know, the notices, POAs maybe from their default groups, but outside of that, there isn't much that I can think of, unless you can think of, for lenders direct to counties. The rest goes through the agents.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, the rest of them are mostly documents to help support getting to be able to do those other documents.
Right. Right.
You know,
yeah.
whether it's affidavits,
mm-hmm.
whether it's you know, certificate of trustee or. Affidavit of trustee, I mean, you know, all those related affidavits, and then there's a few other ones that, you know, you get into tax liens and mechanics liens. And
some of them we're going to have to look at as to what they best fit for mapping, you know. Does a mechanics lien follow a mortgage? Does a certificate of trustee follow an affidavit? I mean, as far as what information comes out of them that we need. It would seem to me that we ought to be able to start being able to, so that we're not definitely mapping 101 different uniform conveyancing blanks. We ought to be able to map what the document does and what information we need out of those documents, and have it be utilized. I mean, you know, if you start looking and having to do that on every one of those uniform conveyancing blanks, you and I won't live long enough. But well, there's a lot in that book if we have to do them individually. But if we can lump some of them together, that we know that if we do this one, it will take care of the five other documents, then we should be able to do that.
Well, the Uniform Conveyancing Blank Commission has been spending a lot of time the last couple of months working on the transfer on death deeds and the transfer on death deeds related documents. And I lost track on how many they're up to already, but very quickly they've got about a half a dozen or so that they're already coming up with. And they have been gaining popularity, at least in our office.
Mm-hmm. Ours do.
But they're not going to be coming from customers, Jeff, that you would be dealing with. Mm-hmm. They're primarily coming from the law firm practitioners.
Yeah.
And they're primarily coming from the people that do some estate planning. And this is being used as an alternative tool to deal with, you know.
But if we only accepted those electronically, we could eliminate the problem some of them are causing.
But anyway, that's, you know, those keep coming along, and there'll be more things added. But that's kind of what we thought we really need to devote our time and attention to in the short run, is to highlight the ones that are the most important, get working on those so that we can move them forward. The question that I think, Jeff, you and I talked about, we're not really sure how to identify what money we need in terms of dollars to be able to make some of that move forward. Identifying the document types, we can do that, I think, with our industry groups and our recording groups. But what technical assistance we need to finalize those types of standards and then to put them in place and so forth, you know, it would be nice to have some money to be able to contract with some people to help us when we get to that point. Can we ask for volunteers as we have in the past? Oh, we'll probably have to continue to do that. Mm-hmm. But that's what we kind of thought. It would be nice to have some discussion with some other technical folks about what did they think that type of activity might cost. And
can we go back and see what we paid in our reports before to do some of those documents? I mean, I realize that the money, the time isn't the same. Today's salaries are not the same as it was when we did the satisfactions, when we did the assignments. But can we see what it cost us to do those?
The data mapping for level 2 you're talking about? The
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. That's why not.
Not the whole big level 3 thing. It's the level 2 data mapping you were talking about, right?
Yeah. I would like maybe to not cut off looking at level 3.
Yeah, and
when it comes to the mapping part, is it a lot different? The information we need out of them is the same. So, I mean, can we go back to our first reports and see what we paid to have those done and take a guess from that as to what it's going to cost us to do the next 4 documents, next 5 documents in a year?
Well, when it comes to the electronic ones, Pam might even remember, because she was working for the vendor that we were paying at the time to do those schema developments and all the things that went into that.
Yeah, for the level 3, I don't know. For the level 2, I know.
Yeah. But it seems to me that the immediate issue would be the model or level 2, because, you know,
right.
I don't want to discount doing three, but I don't see that happening in the next 2 years.
No, no, and I understand that. I just also don't want to spend, I don't, and I'm just picking a number here. I don't want to spend $1,000 today and $2,000 in 2 years if $1,500 will do it today for both. You know, I mean, if the combined, if doing it at the same time allows us to. And I agree, I don't see Model 3 being a big push in the next couple of years. I just don't want to have to reinvent the wheel in 2 years either.
But, Pam, do you see a lot of crossover between the two? Say, if, right now, for us to finish this six-pack, we need the Level 2 deed. Mm-hmm. And then, essentially, with the electronic CRV, that would be handled, and we would handle well disclosure within the deed to say it was part of that one way or another. But then, if that were done, do you see a lot of crossover to say, okay, now we can, well, we've already done a Level 3 deed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Level 3 deed is already done. So
right.
The only thing I think we're missing, then it would just be the cost of what the next ones are after that, because we're just going to wait on them. We aren't going to do the mortgage.
Right.
Because we're waiting on MSMO for that. Right. So it would, but then we'd have to say, okay, what's the top priorities? And then probably come back and say, here's our priorities. Then what's the cost? But I think for us to hit the timelines that we want to for January, we probably just need to concentrate
on the deed.
Level 2 deed. And, but I don't think we're losing anything by not, because they are so separate. Correct.
Pam, a question to you. If we were to embark down the path of doing the modeling for Model 2 or Level 2 documents, how different is that if we were to do Model 3 and then go to Model 2? In other words, we've done Model 3 to begin with, and now we're trying to map to what we'd need for a Model 2 from that. The rest of the documents after we finish the deed, we've not done any modeling.
Right.
And kind of getting at Janine's question, are we paying the same no matter what, or is it less doing the mapping just to a Model 2?
I would say to a Model 2 is less. Just think of your screens at the counties when you have a document come in. How different is the screen for indexing on a deed versus a release versus a certificate of release? Do you have different screens that pop up, or is it a lot of the common elements? Maybe some things get enabled and disabled depending on the document. And that's the same thing for Level 2. It's, you got your grantee, you have your main elements, data entry points that are common across every single document because it's your indexing system. It
right.
has to be common, with added little things
right.
depending on the document. So
which
level
document
two,
do you need a reference number for
right,
example?
Right.
Which
and
document
then,
is important because it has a dollar amount that has
right.
to be included? That.
And every document who has a reference will be the same. So it's very consistent. Level 2 is consistent across documents that represent the same thing. Whereas
so
Level 3 is a little, it's a little different. The big thing for the Level 3 is getting that style sheet working, which is not part of this committee, but that's part of your submitter, and that's a big job.
Big piece. Does that mean that if you were to take a whole cadre of different types of affidavits for different purposes, it means that it would be simpler to do that then, because all affidavits have certain elements in common, and then there are the unique things for that particular transaction that you need to have.
Yeah, because in a Level 2, all you care about is the indexing information. That's it, and that's really county, that's county-driven versus a submitter-driven. So, and the counties are consistent over their indexing systems. I'm sure some counties have a few more things, some have a few less things, but they're, when abstractors go and look and when people go and look, it's got to be consistent across counties for them to be able to understand what they're looking for and seeing. So grantor, grantee, your reference information. It's very similar.
But we looked at this work plan in order to decide whether how we went to look for funding, correct? As to whether or not we
wanted... Well, both funding and for what should we be concentrating and focusing our efforts on here from a business planning standpoint.
Yeah, but we kind of need to look at this to see if there's any legislation we might need so that we had that prepared. And so I guess that's why I was thinking about examining the costs, because we won't get any money till July or...
July at the earliest.
At the earliest, July or August of next year.
Sugar daddy that wants to give us some money.
But I mean, if we're looking at any legislative funding or of taking any part of the funding that's already there to go toward this. So I guess that's why I was asking the questions about the bigger issues than finishing the deed, because hopefully I'm hoping that deed's done before July of next year.
We're hoping the deed is done. What we put in January, didn't we?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah. January of this coming year.
So we're not going to need. We're not looking at trying to get legislative funding for that. We're looking at getting that somewhere else.
Didn't comment, but Jeff, during the course of our meeting, did kind of ask Pam if that could be done by January, and he almost kind of. I won't say directed her about doing that, but kind of hinted that perhaps she might be assigned to do that, and would that be possible, and so forth. But I haven't heard a final offer, but that was discussed on the telephone when we were working on this plan together here a couple of weeks ago, so you might want to address your question and see if he's willing to do that, and at least get that piece finished. Because I think we basically thought getting that six-pack accomplished, mm-hmm. I think, is a pretty major effort from where we started some 9 years ago on this.
Yes.
That would make it possible.
And I guess that is what I was interpreting in what I read, was that we were going to get to a certain point without any funding.
Right.
The rest of our plan mm-hmm. to do the other documents, to hire the amount of time we're going to need to look at even... putting them into five categories and doing it is going to take purchasing of some technical skills.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I guess that's why my question was, does it cost more to do level 3 and let it apply to level 2 than it does just to do level 2 in these other documents? So, you know, what kind of money are we looking for in the legislation for the next year? Whether we get it offered up to us, whether we... go after some, I mean, what kind of funding are we looking at? And that's why I said, is there any place we can go back and get that?
Larry?
So, if I'm not mistaken, the schema or whatever you want to call it that we use for Model 2 already could be used for deeds. Is that true or false, Pam?
That is true.
Well, we have to do a couple of modifications for CRB, and I think well certificate how we were going to make those things work
right.
within the two. It may not be remapping. It may be just defining
right.
where they go. That's why we didn't think it was such an enormous task to get that done.
The one thing you have to remember is the standard we're using for level 2 is PREA.
Right, and that's why
and
I was going to go next.
It was driven from the counties. The counties are the ones who designed that, not
correct.
The submitters. So
correct.
It was, you know.
That's where I was going to go next, is that I know that that isn't necessarily where we may want to end up or are in the end, because right now everything is extremely flexible and there really isn't any standard or at least any guidance from a commission as to what fields are absolutely required in order to file a Model 2 document electronically, even the ones that are currently being done. Because I think there's places for legal descriptions, and I've heard that sometimes there's legals and sometimes there isn't. And so I think that all needs to be looked at some point in time to determine what it is that we absolutely have to have so that submitters are doing it consistently across all the counties, and the counties are accepting it, if it is a standard or adopted by this commission, as to what is mandatory for a deed or for a mortgage or for a satisfaction, because we really don't have that at this point in time, from what I understand. Is that true, Bill?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, you're dealing with two different issues.
Yep.
One is the mechanics of getting it in.
Correct.
The mechanics are there, save a tag or
yep.
two.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The other is what are the Minnesota requirements?
Correct.
For required fields versus optional fields. And you find that the pretty standard, almost everything is optional.
Right.
It's got a spot for everything. It just doesn't require it.
Yep.
Now, if Minnesota wants to superimpose on top of that some mandatory fields, that's a different issue.
Yep.
But mechanically, we can read a deed in right now. Mm-hmm. But we have these other issues that you might want to deal with.
Yep.
Pam, is that your read?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, level two is very consistent across
yep.
all documents, just because it's indexing information.
Right, and it really, there aren't that many variations. You've got the generic one that covers everything with some additions for a mortgage because you want the consideration amount mm-hmm. and the deed. There's a few other things you want in there, but it's very consistent because they're just mapping to what our requirements are for our indexing system. Yeah. So it really isn't all that complicated,
right.
I don't think. So we shouldn't have to have that many.
Once recorders can agree on what are the indexing standards that we all would require based on state law,
yep.
you can come up with a fairly uniform approach for mapping those Model 2 standards for almost all documents.
Yep.
And
yep.
The
topic that will be the most debated will be the legal description one.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff and I have probably debated that topic over the years on more than one occasion. As I've grown older, perhaps, as Jeff would say, I've gotten smarter or I've become less resistant, and perhaps seeing the need, if we're going to do Model 2, to have more flexibility about mm-hmm. how we're going to deal with the entry of legal descriptions. And my view had always been I would want to require that as a mandated field that the submitter had to include, or they couldn't do the recording, because that's information that's got to go back into our systems. But as I've talked to more of my recording colleagues around the state and talked to some of the recorders in PREA around the country, I find that recorders don't agree with one another about how to do legals into their systems. And they all are very jealously guarding what they consider to be the appropriate way to interpret legal descriptions and how they put them into their systems. And even within the same vendor, they have different approaches for how they put their legals in, whether they happen to use a Trimin or a Fiddler or a Hart or a West Central or whatever it is. And that gets to be a point of pride. And then even if you require it, I've heard a couple of national ones saying, well, I don't care what they give me. I'm going to key that in the way we do it, and we're going to do it our way because our way is the best way.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's kind of where the recorders are at in the state of Minnesota, and I'm not saying that's where they're at, but there are differences among recorders in the state of Minnesota about how they enter that information into their systems. And maybe we can't reach a consensus on that among recorders, and maybe we do have to be a little more flexible about how the legal is put in. Jeff and most submitters are very concerned about the legal because they're afraid that if we as recorders use the legal that they use, might they have now some liability if there happens to be an error. And they've got such a large margin, as I understand, that they get from the costs that they recover in charging their customers that they could cover that with no problem at all. But somehow they haven't been able to purchase insurance to do that yet, I think, if I understand, Jeff.
Well, I'm sure that's always going to be the issue. If the legal is different in the level 2 XML versus on the document.
Well, Jeff wanted to make sure that you had the recording on when I talked about this before, and we didn't then, so now he's got it, so you can go back and listen to it, Jeff. So, but I think that's an issue that, you know, we'll need to address and focus on, because I think that will encourage more use of level 2 from submitters if there's a little more flexibility about how they can submit the legal description and if it's not in a required format. It also simplifies the mapping a little bit, I think, as you get going forward with that as well. But
I'd be happy with no legal as long as they gave me the personal identification number.
That's tricky too.
Works for me.
Yeah. Ooh. Well.
Because the legal description is on the document, and if they give me the pin, I'll verify it. But yeah, that'd be fabulous.
At this point on a Model 2?
Yes.
They don't do any mapping of the legal, do you?
Some counties do.
Some counties do?
But nobody...
But it's just like lot and block planning.
Yeah, it's not. It's never a full legal is required.
You never, ever type in the full legal. It's just...
And there are counties in Minnesota that require that?
Uncertain documents.
I should have taken that workshop.
But yeah, it's just lot and block or your quarter sections. But it's never any text other than maybe a plat name would be your
even
only text.
To get the subdivision name spelled right and their letter perfect to match up with the county's got to be tough.
Yeah.
You know, the challenging thing is you go around the state and find that. And I'm sure this will come as a shock to those in the business, but recorders and auditors don't necessarily agree on how to spell those names of the owners or the legal descriptions in the various tax and recording systems.
Right. the other question I have is, doesn't this commission, and this might relate down to the next to that question I had at the end, is doesn't this commission have the right to set that standard? That no county can require it?
The commission, the way I would view it, it could set the standard either way, yes.
Yes, that's what
they
I
could
meant.
Make it mandatory or they could leave it optional or flexible. That is the...
I mean, do we... For the consistency of submitters, do we want to leave it flexible? Or do we want to say it is not required to send it? That a county has to take it without it.
Well, then you're saying that it's optional, but you have to then mandate to the counties that if it isn't there, they still have to take it.
Right. That's what I was saying.
Because
right.
I don't think you want to go to the point of telling the vendors that they don't need to submit the legal, because if they want to give it to you and it has some value to you, you should have them give it to you. But if you tell them that it's not needed, nobody's going to put it in.
Right.
And I'd like to see them try to put it in there because it still has some value.
Well, it does.
But
even if it's only the quarter, I guess
yep.
I could see where then you could go in and edit it to
yep.
reference a more defined legal after it comes in. But
you're still going to have to verify it regardless
right.
of what you get.
But I guess my concern is that it really does bother me that if we're trying to do things similar or uniformly, and that's what electronic recording was supposed to do for us, that we have counties out there that won't accept it without it.
Right.
That bothers me that our submitters would have to do it differently for one county than another. Now they're going to tell me I'm one of them.
Therein lies the reason why this needs further attention.
Right.
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 It needs some further discussion. I mean, you know, I'll give you thoughts that I always had in our county, for example, knowing what Jeff's concern has always been about the liability on the part of the submitter. I'd always dreamed that we get to the point where if Jeff wanted to do that recording with us and he would tell us what the property is, we would give him an XML electronic feed of the legal description that he could use then in the document that he submits to us.
How would he tell you which one he wanted without knowing what the legal description was?
Well, he has generally a legal description of some sort that he gets from his customer.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not always certain about that.
Yeah.
And his customer, what he has generally done is he attaches it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what most closers do. I mean, you know, you see those legal attached.
Yeah.
so that they don't do the legal work themselves because there's too much concern for liability, what they talk about. So he's got that. So if he gives you that, or if he gives you, Larry, the PIN number because they happen to know that, you could give him the legal description and feed it to him in an XML format, and then he could use it, and then it could become maybe mandatory in those counties that handled it in that fashion, and it wouldn't create the liability for somebody like Jeff. And that's kind of what my dream was, to try and help get around and make it possible to give a submitter that type of an electronic feed for that information so they wouldn't need to worry about it. If they could tell the county, we could give it to them, and that would make it.
Dollar a ping?
Well, there was a time that I thought maybe we charge for that, but I'm of the opinion that the benefit that we would get at the county level so outweighs the need to raise revenue for that, that I'd give it to them for free. And
that's
I'd make
recording.
It available. Because we'll get the benefit by electronically now having that going into our index.
I'm not very smart here again about the electronic part. But if they research into our system and pull the legal, are they getting it in the format they needed to send it again?
It depends.
Okay.
I mean, if they're doing
everything
it, if
depends,
they,
even when you're old.
If they do it online, you know, through a web-based application, there maybe not. But if you've got a way to give them a XML feed of it, they could get it that way. That's why I say it depends. I learned that from Ben. Mm-hmm. You know, everything depends. Everything is possible with the right amount of time, money.
And money. Yeah. Time and money.
Even NASCA can work if you give it enough time and money.
Oh, strange.
Anyway, I'll get back to my original question here. How much money do we need out of the next...
Don't put that in there.
How much money are we going to need in the future to accomplish what we want to accomplish? Because we only have this next meeting to look at legislation and where we want to get that funding.
Yep.
And then we need to have it prepared and ready to go and find a vessel to attach it to or put it on to or to carry it. Maybe those are not the right terms, but would seem to me that we don't have a lot of time to wait to decide. Do we need, are we going to ask for the $25,000 that the commission that the ERER task force got before to run? And will that be enough? Or can we, what other funding source is there short of, you know, we no longer can look at the banks for it. Is the funding only other funding source going to come from the counties to look at, you know, is Hennepin County going to fund it? Is Anoka County going to fund it? Lyon County can only give so many cents on the document, and those documents are shorter this year than last year. But, you know, if we're going to look at that, we have some selling to do. We have some buy-in to do. And I don't think we have a lot of time to do that in if we don't get started. And I guess that's why I keep coming back to that same question. Where do we want to get the funding? How much is it going to take? What are we going to tell them we're going to do with that funding? I mean, I'm assuming our fiscal agent over there would like to have some money to fiscal with.
Well, you're asking the questions that Jeff and I spent a lot of time talking about when mm-hmm. we were meeting. And you'll notice that resource dollar amounts are left empty here because we did want to have that discussion with this group. As I've reflected on it since Jeff and I met, my hope had been that perhaps we could get some estimates from some technical people as to what it might take to do the technical mapping of, you know, certain types of documents to be able to do Model 2 even beyond the six-pack, and, you know, get some sort of an idea of what it might cost per document type or per document and that sort of thing, and have that as, you know, something that you'd be looking at. You need some technical resource consulting dollars to do, and then to talk to the commission, and mainly Greg and Diane and Sally here, about, you know, what can we expect in terms of support for the commission, and what would that take in terms of dollars to continue providing that type of support, even on a diminished level of activity of what we're talking about doing in the next 2 years. I mean, if somebody were to say, we've got all the money in the world, we could then have in our back pocket, we could roll out, well, all right, if we got to Model 3 and we wanted to do a schema and do all the uniform conveyancing blank documents, you know, here's, you know, how we'd spend an extra half a million or $1 million and be able to do that. But that's not in the cards the way I would view it in the next biennium under any circumstances. And I think we need to take a look at what's doable and realistic. What I thought gave us some help in terms of selling whatever we're going to sell is if we can come up and finish the six-pack and have something ready to go, you know, say in January when the ECRB was ready, that we'd have something to be able to share with the legislature as a story of what we have finally accomplished in being able to get a, quote, typical residential closing, if we ever have those again, when people buy homes that could be recorded electronically. And now to go forward further, we need to identify, you know, additional resources to do the other types of documents, and that's what we're, you know, looking for that type of support. Now, how much of it can come from the legislature, how much of it can come from industry, how much of it can come from counties, you know, we can talk about that, but I know where my county, I mean, they told me don't plan on spending anything for anything next year, Kniff. You're not bringing any money in, you know. I mean, basically, recorders don't have any money anymore because the dollars have dropped off because the recording volumes have dropped off. So that's, I know what every recorder is going to hear in the next year. And, you know, until business really picks up or turns around, that's going to be very difficult to find those types of resources, I think, from any county around the state. I'm sorry, Hennepin doesn't have the fishbowl isn't full anymore, Janine.
It was a shot.
The gold is gone. We just got perch.
Well, I am long-lived or short-lived, whichever way you're looking at the world. But it has been my practice, no, has been my understanding that you can do two things. You can look at what you want to get done and develop the cost, or you can develop the cost and tell what you're going to get done. So we have two goals. We can take a stab at a number out there and say for this, and I'm just using numbers because I have no idea how much it's going to cost. For that $25,000, we can get these five things done. Or we can go in and say we need to have these six things done and it will cost us this amount. Either way, we have to come up with an amount before we can even start to write the legislation. So, you know, I, who do not like numbers, do not like to manipulate them, do not like to do anything. I like to just pick the figure and then determine what I can get done with it. You know, so it's, you know, it's either way works. I just don't know how to get, I don't know how to pick the six things I want to do and determine what it's going to cost us. So I would like to go in and pick a number and say, and with that that amount of money, I would like to see us get these five things done. I know you have to have a guess either way how much it's going to cost. But you can sell water to the lake if you have the right information. So, I mean, do we want to pick 25,000 and then say we need 25,000 and this is what we're going to, you know, and then have until February to figure out this is what we can get done with that 25,000? Or do we want to pick that we can do these five things and only have till next month to figure out how much that's going to cost us? Mm-hmm. I was
going to say, and one of the things we're going to try to look at was what it had cost us before to do that, right? To go back and see what we... I mean, it'd probably be relatively the same, do you think, Pam?
For level two, yeah, it would be the same.
For level three, I don't know.
Level three would be a whole different...
But how, for if you go level two, if you take this and do the six-pack for level two and add more documents, could more counties get on and start doing things if there were more
the
level
issue,
two?
The issue isn't whether counties can get on or not, about every one of the vendors have it in their package. I mean, it isn't the cost of whether a county can do it or not. It's whether they change systems or whether they don't change systems. Are there a lot of counties, and Kay and Chris, maybe you can help me more with that. Are there any counties out there that own systems that can't do it anymore?
Yeah.
You can?
There's a couple.
Well, and it's because we haven't validated their systems.
Right.
But I think
it isn't because their systems can't do it. It's because we haven't validated them.
We're looking for validation.
Yeah.
But I think Pam's right here. It's the volume. I mean, you're going to sell e-reporting to your county commissioners or whatever you want to do because it's going to change the way you do business. It's changing your volume. And if you have more volume of e-reporting, it alters the way you do business, which creates the cost savings, and that's how it works.
And
make a six-pack then or whatever, the more documents you can get done, yeah.
And I understand that theory, but what I'm saying is there aren't that many counties out there that can't already do e-recording.
No. And there are some counties out there that aren't going to ever do e-recording.
Some are choosing not to.
They're choosing not to, but it's not because of cost.
Where that has that
capacity,
they're choosing
not to. It might be. Well, you've got some of the small counties out there that have, a population of 5,000 people. They're going to get one e-record a year.
Well, I realize that, but it's not costing them to get that one.
It does, in a sense, cost them because you've got to train for that. You've got to understand it. I mean, it's not a simple thing. It's like me having torrents, for crap's sake.
Big Stone has 3,000 people they're e-recording. Rock County has 5,000 people they're e-recording. I'm not saying that that's the issue. The issue is we have some small counties that have systems that have not been validated. And they're ready to go. They keep telling me they're e-recording and definitely can e-record at Model 2. You know, they're not, maybe they couldn't have at 3, but, you know, I'm not hearing a lot of places out there that can't e-record or that's going to cost them a whole lot more to e-record because they already got the updated systems. It's just the fact that, and the volume does matter. To make the decision, what I think 5 years ago, the volume made the difference.
Yeah.
Because we were choosing whether or not to buy into new systems. I think the new systems have been bought into. I think the system, the vendors out there have made their systems e-recordable.
Well, let's go back to how do we get to the figure, and I guess let me throw this out. Pam, do you have any ability to maybe just talk to Ben and give us a rough estimate of what you might think it would cost to map all of the uniform conveyancing blanks to a Model 2? What would be, you know, total figure of doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can, you know, parse that down to, you know, whatever we would get to how many we could get to then if, you know, the dollar amount isn't going to be there and that sort of thing. I think if we could get at least that type of a figure, we could have something to at least look at and to bring forward to fit a type of a work plan that we're talking about here if people are comfortable with this type of a work plan.
Yeah, I think so. It's a defined set. It's an estimate off of that set, and
And Bill, I would, you know, tell you, and maybe we can tell the same to the other vendors, if they've got an idea of what they might think that type of activity would cost too. Certainly, you know, would be interested in, you know, just what it might take, you know, for somebody who's in the consulting business to do that type of thing, to help map that that type of activity. But that's what I think we really need to get, is a handle on that type of a number. Because I think that gets to what you're talking about, Janine, and I think that's what we had hoped perhaps that we could get out of the technology resources here for the group, at least get some sort of an idea of what that would entail.
Pam, with the Model 2, mapping that, and then if the commission needs to put definitions on what's accepted in Model 2, does that make it more expensive also? You know, the requirements.
I think you'd get more submitters moving forward with expanding your Model 2 documents.
Right.
I think you'd have a lot more, because a lot of systems are already set up for Model 2, not 3.
Right.
So I'm clear in my mind then that phase 2 is to, or that's part of phase 2 is to get that estimate, right, for that the uniform conveyancing legs.
Right.
Right. And then getting back to phase one is basically to take what we have, figure out what we need to
map the deed.
Yeah, the deed, to finish that off. And then really at that point, are we going to say, take a look at it and say, you know, maybe in a small group, say this is required, this is not required, you know, and list those out? Because I think a lot of that's in a spreadsheet now,
it's
right?
It's done. Yeah, it's done. I would say it would be a matter of taking what we've already done and copying it over and verifying that it still applies to the new documents. And again, it's going back to the counties and saying, what's your indexing system? What is the difference between these documents when you index? That's where the requirements are driven from. So it's county dependent on that.
Let me suggest this, that there is a subcommittee of recorders, and they will, I think, go back and identify what the required fields are for that six-pack, so that would be something that people would know, and we can probably do that by January of this year.
So if we can get that spreadsheet
filled.
So that
if we can have that filled in at that level.
And it's required indexing fields versus required fields. Those
Correct.
Are two different.
Correct. What the recorders will do is they'll identify what are the fields that will go into the index.
Yes.
And which ones will be required in what format.
Versus optional, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Versus the optional things. What this is kind of, as Bill would describe, this is adding on to what PREA has in terms of everything being optional, so to speak. But this would require now certain fields would be mandatory.
Mm-hmm. And that's doing a lot of the legwork. After that's done, then all it is plugging it into the spreadsheet and saying, there you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are we also going to look at, well, you're just talking about the six-pack. Right?
We'll deal with the six-pack if we can accomplish that by January. Then I think we need to go beyond that. But I think we need to identify what are the documents beyond that that we're going to work with next. And then we need to develop the mapping on the technology side and then the requirements on...
Once you have that six-pack done, though, you should be able to try to slot the rest of the documents
into
those formats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If there's any that are left over, then you got to deal with them. Otherwise, you're done.
Yep. There are very few additional fields that won't be encountered between those that are required as part of that six-pack.
Those are the most complex documents right there.
Absolutely.
You should accommodate for all the rest of them.
The rest of them should be much simpler.
If there might be one or two oddball ones, but then you can deal with those. But
and
I think once you get those done, you should be able to slot the rest of them.
And most of those will be reference number issues, won't they?
You should deal with that in the six-pack.
You have to
deal with that in the six-pack. We do deal with that in the six-pack.
The assignments and...
Your assignments and your satisfactions and releases already deal with that.
Stake up.
Right.
Bill, I have a question for you. Are these things going to be more costly to you as a vendor? Okay. I guess we were talking about funding to be able to do mapping and things on our end. Is that going?
Rules we put will be put into the implemented into the standard. We just pull the standard.
So it's not a great cost to a vendor for us to do this.
We'll go through some testing and things like that, of course.
Okay. All right.
I think the only thing that would really create an issue for any vendor would be as if we were adding a field that doesn't exist in the current indexing system. But I don't see any of us doing that. I think the real challenge for the recorders is identifying the fields that the law requires that every vendor's system handles in one form or another.
Right.
And it's just a matter of seeing which of them are going to be now required in what format. And we can, I think, accomplish that by January on the recorder side. And if we can get some indication in terms of the dollar amount to do the mapping, and if we can get that, really it would be helpful to have that before the next commission meeting here in November. And then if we can have the various groups identify the next document types that they would want to work on, and if you can work with the submitter group and the recorders when they're dealing with the mapping can probably deal with that as well to see which are the next document types that we would work on. And
absolutely. They're going to be thrilled to have the deeds.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the last piece that we kind of talked about in the plan for, you know, phase three, after you go with, you know, the ability to expand the documents, was now to, what did we do to promote, again, the old issue, promote both submitters to start using it once we can do that six-pack and expand it beyond that. And then, again, to expand the number of counties that are willing to participate to make more options available for submitters to record in.
And that's really what that questionnaire is about is to say, what's your hurdles? Would you do it if it's available? If you had Model 2 and the full six-pack, would you do it? Would you do it only if it's, you know, because what I've heard from some of the submitters is essentially they'd say, well, if I have a whole stack to do and the county recorder is two blocks down the road, it's faster for me to run the documents down the road, drop them off, than it is for me to scan and type the indexing information and send it. But if I have, so my own home base county, I may not do it as much as if I have to submit to the next county over or two over or whatever. So I want to get a little feedback around that as well. But that's some of what I've been.
I do have a bank next door.
And they're right next door. So, I mean, I'm saying some will and some are just saying, hey, if I've got, I mean, the reality is, and we know too, if I had 100 to do and the recorder's office was a block down the road, you could walk them over, you know, and it would be, because by the time you image and retype, but there's extra value in getting it recorded in a timely manner, getting it back, having it indexed, having an image. That's what we're trying to say is you got to balance that those two things out. And then, you know, this is not for this group to address, but the reality is within the recorders is the money. You know, when you move to deeds, now you've got a lot more revenue flying around. And now the submitters have to, it's going to impede recording again if we say you have to have all that money fronted and in your account before we ever get this done. If you can somehow pull, that's a different story. But when you're fronting state deed tax, mortgage registration tax, all of these things, that's per document, per package, that's a lot of money going out in advance. So
you mean you let those checks, do you think they honestly let those checks float out there for two or three days before they get to us and then?
But I'm just saying, but the reality is once you close a document and say you want to record that afternoon, You would have had to put the money in yesterday, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so they'd have to pre-fund all these things that they're doing yeah. today. And that's what we're talking about, having that kind of speed for the recording. So
that's the e-pay part of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, it's not for this group to... But it's definitely,
it,
yeah. it's an issue.
Yeah.
It's an issue. Yeah. Well, when you get into deeds, now you're talking state deed tax on top of MRT.
Now we're talking about real money.
We're talking about a lot of money. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Okay. Are people comfortable with this approach on the commission? Any of you have other thoughts about how to approach this that we haven't covered or other ideas? Anybody else in the audience got other thoughts, suggestions, ideas? No?
From your side, Bill, would it be, I mean, if everyone were submitting consistently, even if you had to make some changes initially, I think in the long run it would be beneficial.
The only request I would have, and I feel like I keep throwing these
only.
Things in. I got two more, really. Guess it's not the only one. I would like this group to send out a statement as to what we can accept at this point and what our plan is. Because there are counties out there who are accepting documents in a Model 2 that we haven't looked at. And then the issue that comes to, which I don't have I don't know if they work and if there's not a problem with them or whatever, but the problem I have is that one county will accept them and the next one is saying, nope, I don't take mechanics liens. Nope, I don't take notices. You know, so can this commission issue a statement as to what we will accept now and or what electronic recording should be accepting now?
We can certainly do that. I think when people signed on as recorders to electronically record, you basically signed on to agree to enforce the standards that were in place in the state of Minnesota. So,
could you validate the system without sending different docs, or is that
they must be?
That's what I'm.
They must be because. There's mechanics liens being filed.
Are they being filed as satisfactions, though? Are they being sent as a satisfaction?
Mechanics lien's not a satisfaction. It's a...
As a mortgage. I'm
as
sorry.
As a mortgage.
Yeah. Are they being...
And I don't know. There's...
Mechanics lien satisfactions is the one that I heard yesterday. So
they're filing them as a satisfaction.
Yeah, satisfaction
title,
of a mechanics lien? Okay.
So they're filing them as satisfaction.
As satisfaction.
I'd heard that the mechanics liens were being filed. I'd heard the subordination agreements were being filed.
What's
subordination agreement? But if it's coming in as a mortgage, I don't know. And I've not seen it. I just heard about it.
But that's the submitter. But then the county should be accepting.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that the county should only be accepting
what's allowed.
And I'm thinking people out there are questioning, questioning what's allowed. If it comes over, they take it.
Are you getting some amendment to mortgages? Jeff, are you?
Modifications, we're seeing very few. I mean, some.
I would guess that's
by and large, most
coming.
Of them aren't being recorded.
I mean, that's an example of one that we should be accepting.
We should be?
I would say yes. It's a modification of a mortgage. It's a mortgage document.
Yeah, but that's different than a mortgage.
They've just increased the dollar amount from $50,000 to $100,000. Are you doing them in Model 2?
See, that's the way... That's what I'm saying is the difference between the definition from one recorder's office to the other. Is if I got one in, I would reject it, saying we don't accept modifications. We don't accept modifications of agreements. We don't accept modifications. It's a modification. It is not a mortgage.
Doesn't it reference the mortgage, the modification of the mortgage? Does it not reference
probably.
So it really isn't a mortgage because it
has a different flavor to it because it has a reference document to it.
It's not an assignment. It's not a satisfaction. It's not an assignment. It's not a certificate of release, and it's not a mortgage. So I wouldn't accept it. And as a matter of fact, I think I did get one of those in that I refused.
But you'd have to look at the document
to
reject it because it
right, you have
sent
to look
it.
Because,
yeah.
Because it sent it okay. It came through okay.
Sure. Say, identified it as some other.
See, and so that's what I'm saying is that it's the definition, because you defined it as a mortgage document, you would take it.
I'd view it as a mortgage.
So
now we're not doing Model 2, so we haven't had to encounter that question yet, but.
And I guess I would just like to I would like to ask the chairperson or chairpersons of this committee to send out a statewide notice stating what documents mm-hmm. should be accepted mm-hmm. at this time.
I'm not disagreeing that it be done, but it seems like that would be an official action of the commission, and probably would need a
okay.
A,
we can wait a month then, huh?
I'm not disputing that you should or shouldn't, but it's just that would really be an official action.
Just a warning, though, you're digging,
yes.
digging a hole on that one, because if you're going to start identifying titles, then if there's a certain
but once
certain
we do that, then we can accept that as a standard.
Right, but the titles can be different. You know, you have to really watch how you word that. Just
yep.
a warning. That's
yes, you
because you don't want a list of 100 titles for the mortgage,
yep.
saying these are the only types you can. You just want to
sure.
be able to define it general enough that it accommodates everything, but specific enough that it can rule out the ones you don't want.
Kay, what are mortgages called in other states? I forgot. They're
deeds of trust.
Deeds of trust. If you got a deed of trust, would anybody accept that here?
Well, we take them in real estate, you know.
We do take them in, yeah.
We do take them in, yeah.
But as a Model 2, I'm talking about. Would you electronically accept
no,
a
electronically.
Deed of trust?
Well, I don't know.
I probably would
yeah,
because
I
it's a mortgage.
But, you know, because I have more liability if I didn't take it. I should have gone on record.
Well,
if it's sent to me, I guess I... Yeah, we'd have to look at the doc. Yeah, we would look at it. I'm sure it'd be a flag. I mean, we're getting it from you. I mean, so I guess I could throw it back at you guys. You know?
I'll try.
Back to maybe we need an update to of what this committee is doing, because there's a lot of action that just happened at the table right now of plans of moving forward with these phases. That maybe it would be a nice update just for the recorders in the state to know what this new commission is doing.
Well, we're going to have that at MECO too. So.
But then to remind them
yeah.
of what the and just say the documents that we are at this time doing, and to be able to list them, and then you've covered that base.
But the standards have been set for those
documents.
And we are
working on these other documents.
Right.
You guys are going to kind of do that at the MECO conference also.
Chris is twisting arms to get people.
Now, the second question I had, since I'm the only one with questions today,
yeah.
is if I think we should have our legislation ready for the next meeting to be able to talk about it, because we may not have a quorum, or we may not have a quorum in December. And then all of a sudden it's the end of January and everything should have been in place, and we should have had who we wanted to carry it, who we wanted. And so my question would be is who do we get to write that? What do we want written in it?
Well, Janine, let's talk. I mean, I don't know of any legislation that we need in terms of language drafted in terms of amending statutes. I think the issue gets to be what type of funding are we going to have to do the work that we're empowered by statute already to do. So I think it's a real issue of a funding topic, and that I think we need to have some discussion, you know, Diane and Sally and, you know,
about what strategy do we need to use if that's where we're at. Now, if there are some people that think there is legislation that's needed to be written, or if I'm missing something, you know, let's talk about that. But I don't see specifically that there's really legislation that needs to be introduced, other than there needs to be some mechanism for funding what it is we're trying to do as a commission.
Right, but don't we have to present something to be passed to get that funding?
Well, that's what we need to find, what the mechanism is that's used to weave in commissions into. I know what happens in state executive branch offices, but I've never dealt with a legislative coordinating commission in the budgeting funding process and what needs to take place at that level, and that's something that I think maybe we need to talk offline on that, but I think
so
that needs to be done.
So you just put it in their budget?
Well, that's where it will come through, yes.
Oh, I was thinking.
Am I not right, Diane? I mean, that's what I'd understood.
Oh, okay. I was thinking we had to find some funding mechanism of our own.
Well, you could. I don't know exactly 100%. Yeah, we should have a conversation.
Yep.
A little bit more.
I mean, I think
with Greg.
With Greg Hubinger on that particular topic, but.
But you could perhaps amend what you have already, in stating LCC as a fiscal agent on it. So we're identified as the administrative arm already in the legislation. So.
Okay, so we're not having to look for finding. Okay, that was my fault.
We have to look for funding.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And get support for funding.
I was thinking we had to carry something. We had to carry something that approved that funding.
At the moment, they're stuck with us, whether they like us or not. Now, the question gets to be, we want to make certain that they've got adequate funding to be able to support us in what we need to accomplish to carry out what the legislature has given us as a charge to do. And that's what I think we need to talk about. And that was what we were trying to flush out in terms of a plan, that we get everybody on the same page about what we want to accomplish, get some ideas about numbers so that we can sit down and talk about that from a strategy standpoint, and then look at, what's realistic and what do we do then in terms of what we do get, where do we start and what do we do. And the more money we get, the further, I think, along in the plan that we can progress. If we don't get as much money, basically, we won't be able to progress as quickly. Mm-hmm. But if we can get everybody on the same page about where we want to go and then see what it takes to be able to accomplish that over the next 2 years, I think that would be very, very, very strong steps to keep moving this forward. So if people are comfortable with that, I'll follow up with Diane and we'll talk about, some of those strategy issues about where we need to go so that we can talk about that at next month's meeting. And if people are comfortable with the plan, we'll ask Pam and Ben to kind of give us some idea about what, doing this might cost in terms of mapping the Model 2. We'll ask you to take back issues then to the Trusted Submitter Group with your MLTA to get the next set of document types. We'll get the Recorders Group to identify the mapped elements for the six-pack, and then also identify the next type of documents that we would want to approach for moving forward for approval for expanding Model 2 beyond that six-pack. And that then is kind of would encompass the overall plan. People are comfortable with that strategy. Hopefully we'll have a quorum here that can vote on it next month with a dollar amount maybe attached to it as well. We have somewhat of a consensus on that?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think if we're short next time we can have a call in. Just even calling in on cell phone, we'll put it on speakerphone. We'll be.
Janine, have we exhausted your questions?
We had half an extra person this time, more than half, so if we only have the same amount next time, we would probably be able to proxy that half that was this time.
Well, but the half. Okay.
All right.
I'm sorry, Bill, yes.
I'm sorry, I've got a commitment to 30 minutes. And I did have an item on the agenda. Could I ask a favor?
Yes, if you go ahead. Give us your report.
Okay, if you remember last time at the last meeting, I volunteered to find out about whether or not there are any other states that are doing any kind of a a validation process or testing
right.
process of their vendors as far as e-recruiting is concerned. And I fired off a note to Mark Ladd, who represents the technical side of CREA. And here's the essence of how he answered. The only state that I'm aware of that is doing anything regarding compliance testing is California, and I certainly don't recommend following their lead. Their rules are complex and expensive to implement, and the rules have been a real roadblock to adopting of e-recording. The rules have been in place for nearly 3 years with no new counties adopting ER in the interim. As an alternative, Legal XML is considering one of their new standards is a conformance testing tool, which Legal XML will provide at no cost. It will be a self-assessment tool for developers to use to check their work against. The tool will provide valid and invalid instance examples of the standard. Developers can use these examples to compare against the results of their work. No branding or compliance certification is granted. It's just a self-check. This is less expensive for Legal XML, yet it provides a value to the developing community. I'm thinking about suggesting this to PREA for version 3.x. If you're going to do compliance program, I think it's a best alternative. It's not a lot unlike what we were already suggesting doing. And as I talked about this with Mark verbally after he sent me this email, we further suggested that if a county were going to, you know, acquire a new piece of software or a new release came out against on their current version, that they could require that the vendor, if they had this conformance or this compliance tool, show me the output, and then I'll buy your product. Or then I'll put on your next release or whatever it might be. And it kind of seems like that's pretty close to where we were heading. It kind of skirts around the need for this business of incurring any risk by way of certification and that kind of thing. But seems like a better way to go than California's mandated rules that are killing e-recording out there. So that's the result.
All right.
Bill, how soon would this be available, do you know? Did he say?
No. They're just considering it there. We're probably further on ours than they are. I mean, that won't be had to start with.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it, Bill.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
You do excuse myself. Thank you.
We had a couple of other items on the agenda. Janine, you had documents. I think
we covered those in
the work plan activity all right. Mm-hmm. And then I had submitters.
Trust and submitters, but yeah, but that's
that
what I talked
covered,
about. Yeah.
You covered that as that part, and then we had Bill's PREA.
Yep.
Does that cover anybody else? Have anything else? Did I cover? I don't think we got them all. Pardon me?
Yeah, we got it all covered.
You don't have any more questions?
I do. I got 5 more minutes, right?
All right.
What are we doing for validation then?
Well, Pam and I are still needing to talk more.
Just got companies out there that
I know we do
keep pounding away. And,
yep.
And there are those counties then that would e-record
if
and
we can
we
get
got that validation.
That's level 3 though, right? Level
no.
2.
Level
they
2.
Don't.
They don't need any validation at all.
No.
I thought we did. I thought we had to have. No. We had because the statute just says that. The statute say that. Only the systems that were validated?
Through level 3. Mm-hmm.
I think when they opened it up, it still says that, doesn't it?
I think you're right, Jenny.
It still says that. Any county can do e-recording, and it doesn't stipulate level 2, level 3, anything. Any county can do e-recording in the state of Minnesota that uses a validated system. Mm-hmm. So we are still got...
That's what the requirement was, and, that's what the requirement is, pardon me.
Yeah.
That's what was established.
And I think
and it was established back when we were only dealing with Model 3. So we've never really dealt with a separate issue of doing Model 2 without validating.
No,
I would be more comfortable myself if all of the indexing systems that are being used where electronic recording is taking place had at least been validated against
what we
the three documents that all the rest of them had been dealing with. And then if they go on to use other documents as part of the six-pack that weren't included in those three that we validated our systems against, I'd at least feel more comfortable with that approach.
Well, and then it goes to what he said about if a new vendor develops new software or has an upgrade, there's still a process to make sure that their system is will meet the validation.
Well, he's talking about a self-regulated
right. It is a software program that they could shoot out the report and say, see, we still meet the validation requirements, which, you know, I'm not saying is good or bad, but
It's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing. And counties then have some comfort in saying, well, I'm using a validated system. I have this report that says they met the validation requirements 3 out of 5 times. I mean, I don't know what those reports say. But
you're kind of getting to your point, though, is you're kind of saying regardless of what we want or what we need, the legislation says it has to be validated in some form, right?
In some form.
To become a user.
To be a user. So, and I know that we have had counties out there well over a year that have been asking to have the system they're using validated. And I can tell you in my area, my district, I have Lacaparo, Yellow Medicine, and Pipestone all have the same vendor, and they want to e-record and can't because they're not validated. And he used to call me every 2 weeks.
And they want to e-record level 3 or level 2?
2.
So they have to get validated for level 3 to just record level 2?
They have to be...
For the 3 documents at level 2 or 3 documents at level 3? Which is it?
I don't know. That is our job, I think, to develop what we're going to require for validation. And so I hate to meet them at any of our conferences, anything when we haven't come up with how to validate new vendors. It also leaves all recorders.
Janine, why don't
stuck
you,
with
let's,
those
let's
vendors.
Let's talk about that topic, and maybe we'll add it on to the agenda here about do we want to consider allowing systems to be used or counties to record the documents that have not had systems that were validated to Model 3 standard? I mean, that's an issue that we as a commission could probably consider doing.
I don't think so. The statute says it has to be a validated system. Statute says
it has
to be a
validated
system.
I think that's probably our problem, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we did that to protect our standards. We did that to make sure that we didn't have any fly-by-night
people
coming in.
The statute does actually say that.
I'm pretty sure it does.
Okay.
I can look that up.
Let's go back and take another look at it. But let's talk about it, and then we'll see if we want to put it on the agenda for next month.
Okay.
All right. Do you have anything else?
No. I've asked all the questions already.
Okay. Anybody have anything else for this month?
Next month, it's your job to bring the questions.
Terry's going to bring all the answers.
I don't have any answers.
Any others? No? If not, our next meeting is, I believe, the third Wednesday, or third Thursday in November.
Thanksgiving.
It's the week before, right, week before Thanksgiving. And we've got all the meetings now here. Is that right, Diane?
The meetings, they're scheduled here
through
unless you decide to change. But
yeah,
they're all scheduled here through February right now. So if you want to...